Ready to start. Our agenda, as members would have received it, has three items on it, really just to share with the department or some of our findings on our oversight trip of last week. And then we had two outstanding matters from the last interaction that we had with the department. In fact, three. The one was the update on the Miss Wilson affair in Durban Westbrook. The second one was the update on the escapes at Durban Westbrook. And the third one that we'd asked the department just to brief us on was the matter around the Mark Scott Crosley. We wanted to understand why is one on parole and the other one not on parole. We've been promised we'll receive a letter from the department, which is fine. But there seems to have been a disparity that we just wanted the department to explain to us why Mark Scott Crosley is out and Minister, he's, I don't know if it's a co-accused, I don't know if we can call it a co-accused, but the second, the worker, was still inside. Now, we wanted to understand what was the disparity there, but we've been informed that they will brief the DG, the National Commissioner, and after you've been briefed, National Commissioner, to be forwarded to us. So that is work in progress, so we really don't need that one now, but we're just putting it on the agenda for them, so that it doesn't get lost. We also do know that the Minister had requested to come in person to introduce the new leadership. So maybe we'll kick off by affording the Minister an opportunity to introduce the new leadership to the committee formally, and then we'll move on to our agenda. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and members of the honorable members of the portfolio committee. Well, last time when we appeared before the portfolio committee, one of the measures raised was that, in fact, you were not introduced to our former national committee. My presence this morning is to make sure that everything is done so that you know what we are doing and how we are trying to solve some of the problems in the department. I did inform you last time that we have appointed, Cabinet has just approved an appointment of both the Commissioner and the Chief Financial Officer. And I'm glad to inform you that on the 15th of May, both of them started working with the Department of Correctional Services. I'm here now with the DG, and I'm sure you're also aware that he's not new in government. He's worked with government departments before. He worked with the Department of Trade and Industry, and later moved to join us in GPW, which is also a government entity. And we have now pulled him from the government printing works. I'm sure people in government printing works can't be happy because it was at a time when government printing works was just picking up its revenue. I recall that when he joined the government printing works, the revenue of the department, the account had $100 million balance. By the time he left, he had half a billion balance. Which to us should demonstrate the caliber of the person that we were able to attract to apply to the Department of Correctional Services. So I have a lot of confidence in him, Chairperson. I also have a lot of confidence in Mr. Sokela, who is our CFO, who is not here with us this morning, but who has been the CFO of KZN provincial legislature for the past 10 years, and I'm told that for the past 9 years since his appointment to that position, that province, that provincial legislature has had very clean reports. So, which already in our interaction, the two of us, and during interactions with the management, there are clear indications that they are ready to roll up their sleeves and try to sort out some of the problems that we have in the Department of Correctional Services. It is my wish, Chair, that the relationship that we have with the Portfolio Committee should be strengthened, and that I'm sure Mr. Moyane is the kind of person who will jump whenever the committee needs information and provide that information to the Portfolio Committee. We know and acknowledge that without the support of the Portfolio Committee, there can never be a proper functioning Department of Correctional Services. So we request that you give us maximum support all the time, all the way. So on that note, Chair, just to say that I'll sit for the first hour, after which I will then recuse myself. Of course, the DJ will be handling all the issues which we are dealing with this morning, because I have other meetings at about half past 9:10. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Minister. Mr. Moyane, welcome aboard. I'm sure I speak on behalf of the entire committee. But before the baptism of fire, maybe we'll afford you a few minutes to say whatever you need to say, want to say. If there's anything at all you'd like to say.
Thank you, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee. I must also take this opportunity to appreciate the very warm welcome to have been received from yourselves. We believe the role of the Portfolio Committee is not just mandatory oversight structure to keep our department on toes, but a partner that shares the primary concern for improving service delivery to our people. This is my first appearance to yourselves since my colleague, the CFO, Mr. Simpiwe Kosokera, and myself started on our position on the 15th of May, which was a Saturday. I've been looking forward to this interface. I trust our relations under the able leadership of the Minister and the Deputy Minister will grow from strength to strength, carrying along more maturing of our department in all aspects. As the committee will appreciate, I'm on a steep learning curve on matters of corrections, with our first 10 days being very perfect briefings from the Minister and the Deputy Minister, Auditor General, executive management staff, and our counterparts in the criminal justice system. I believe these interactions are premised on mutual respect, honesty, integrity, and confidence, and therefore we'll do all in our power to provide accurate information to the best of our abilities on all matters. For today's discussion, we've brought with us our KZN Regional Commissioner, Mr. Mnige Lonele, who will lead our briefing on the developments in his region. Also present here is the CDC Corrections, who is also going to support the propositions that we're going to make to yourselves. I would, however, wish to give a broad overview on the matters under discussion which the Chairperson has alluded us. The third issue I want to indicate up front on the question of Mark Crossley, that I have sent a letter to yourself, Chairperson, which will be in your office today or tomorrow, wherein we took the issues that you raised with us yesterday. The issue of the 9 SKPs from a high security facility in Durban Westfield is one of those incidents that cannot be and should not be justified. Even if the department is achieving a sustained decline of escapes that reached a record low numbers of 41 in this year, an escape of one high security classified offender is one too much. In this high security category, I agree. The earlier sentiments of the Portfolio Committee, we should target the zero tolerance escapes in this year. The official suspected of having neglected their duties or colluded with the inmates must and will face the wrath of our anti-corrupt systems. The recommendations of the investigation be pursued and executed appropriately with the best practices shared with other regions in our effort to close the gaps. In short, we must return to the basics of security. On the matter of Ms. Wilson, who claimed to be a male that was undergoing a sex change, it is regrettable to inform the Portfolio Committee that the matter remains sub judice. Suffice to say, the department is defending the claim, objecting to the jurisdiction of the court set to hear the matter, and that right now we are waiting the decision of the court on the preliminaries. Regarding your observations and your visit to our facility in KwaZulu-Natal region, we are here to listen, share information where required, and take advice on how we can strengthen delivery part, particularly on the coal face of the service delivery project that we are involved. Once again, allow me, Chairperson, and the Portfolio Committee, to allow me this opportunity to pledge here that we'll do everything in our power to build those relations and contribute in taking them to a new and more productive level. I thank you very much.
Thank you, National Commissioner. Maybe starting with a word of comfort and then maybe an opportunity. You're not alone, sir, in being new and a steep learning curve. I think if you look across to you here, there's probably only two people that have been here before. The minister, the deputy minister, the majority of the portfolio committee and yourself are all new. So I think it is an opportunity for us to do things maybe differently, better, more efficiently, more effectively, or whatever the case might be. So all of us on a steep learning curve, I think that will give you a little bit more comfort in that regard. Just before I open it up to members on the two matters around the escape and the Wilson matter, I think we must appreciate that if it is a matter that's before the court, we shouldn't do anything to jeopardize that process. I think that was our view even at the last time. But more importantly, Commissioner, for us, the detail around Ms. Wilson or the detail around the six is really not the issue. The issue is, what is the underlying causes of this problem? Because today it's Ms. Wilson, tomorrow it will be Ms. Peterson or Ms. Smith or whatever. So for us, the detail at some point will come out and that's fine, but can the committee go and sleep tonight confident that the underlying causes of escapes from Durban Westville, underlying causes of the Ms. Wilson matter, will not be repeated? I think that would be a more constructive discussion. And I'm appealing to the committee maybe to look at it from that angle. I certainly think that would be more constructive than trying to go to the detail of the two cases that happened, one of it 2002, quite a while ago. So with that, I will open it up to members. If we could just focus on those two matters, get them behind us, and then deal with the oversight. Any comments from any of the members? I recognize Ms. Nguenia. And welcome, Arti. We had seen you last week, but welcome. Ms. Nguenia?
Thank you, Chairperson. And also, I'd like to thank the Minister in terms of introduction of the new Commissioner. We welcome the new Commissioner. Hopefully, we are going to work together to make this department deliver. Chair, on what the Commissioner has said in terms of the male, that vis-a-vis female, whatever, I agree that the matter is in the hands of the law, but it's very important for us to criticize Commissioner if Wenzela isn't using the Uma Center's age. And it shows, Chair, that our members, they are not taking their work serious in terms of searching the inmate when the inmate comes in. You cannot leave a inmate leave in the center for 6 months. Gunga bibikom tobonayo ukuthi elona umfazi okanye indoda. It doesn't give us any sense as this committee. For these 6 months that this inmate was sit in our center, moreover a center yabobaba, a woman. Secondly, Chair, in terms of the escape, I believe that we cannot just leave it like that also because it's on the hands of the law. We need to say something as the committee in terms of the escape. Because we're there. We just saw what is happening there. Same. The staff members say it shows they don't take this department serious. They cannot leave the inmate, basahe, igrili, baze baphumele ngale, baqhekeze umnyango, baphumele ngale, basahe futhi enye igrili. Where were they? Moreover, when we find that even the head of the center, they will leave. He has been taking the 30 leave or 30. I say Yegis has been retired. So it gave us lot of questions. Lentolay escape. Moreover, 8 awaiting trial. It's not the first time in Westville, West Zealand. I think the department must take us serious here. We need a clear explanation how these things happen. Even the investigation is not clear. Because no one told us, Gutama Poisa Figila, Tatama Fingerprint, Benzani, everything they want to be pushed like Amake River. When there's an escape, Gubo is just a normal thing. When the person is dead, Gubo is just a normal thing. We cannot accept things like that in the department. I think, Commission, Nomsenzo Mkulozo Wenza San, Etenin Ukendule, Izin, Gule, Gule department. Chair, I want to stop there in terms of escape. That we need a clear explanation from the department. Because another thing we find that this Sondolo is not working there. The inmate knows that the camera is not working. What is the management do to make sure that security is working? Moreover, we have put lot of money in terms of security. Thank you, Chairperson.
On these two matters,
anybody else? Mangwe? I beg your pardon. Yeah, I beg your pardon, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I can get a clarity. It was only 4 officially guarding 78 offenders in that day. 4. But 16 officials have been disciplined according to the disciplinary hearing procedure. How come they end up suspending 16 officials? And why they were placed in medium B? And they end up being suspended. Alternatively, they were put in medium B, suspended, but they were put in medium B in the female correctional center. Why were they suspended? Why they didn't go? Why they were not suspended to stay at home? Why were they transferred to the female center? I just want to get that clarity. Chairperson, these people, it was a daylight, not at night, when they go out. And where were the officials by then? Thank you, Chairperson. I'll come back.
Anybody else? No? Let me just add one or two. Let me, Commissioner, just touch on the issues raised by Ms. Ngwenya. Indeed, you know, what was worrisome in Durban was the lack of tools of the trade for security. Turnstiles are being secured by handcuffs in Durban. When we were there on that Tuesday or Wednesday, we went to the surveillance room at the, I think it was the juvenile center or one of the, or female center. There just wasn't anything happening there. Now, the strategic plan last year, when I say last year, the previous strategic plan, DG, you know, one of the performance indicators that your predecessors put down on page 20, on 48, percentage of correctional centers and remand center facilities with access security turnstiles installed. You know, that was one of the targets that they put there, that they would increase those things. This is now 2 years ago. And I'm saying we went there last week, it was not that. I'm just trying to emphasize the fact that the department has been coming to the committee even prior to us coming on board, making commitments, not following up those commitments. And clearly, that is part of the problem. And I also know in our interaction with the minister that when these escapes happened, we never had any photos of these people. There's no way that we could have traced who are in our facilities. So how are we going to ever find them if they escape? Now, I thought these would be the basic things. So I think I was sharing with you, National Commissioner, the challenges that we have. You and I might be new, but certainly there are officials that have been here for a while that should have been able to deal with these matters. So those are the type of things we thought we'd share with you around the escapes. I think we agree with the previous speakers that we're not very comfortable with what has happened up to now. But let's look forward, and these are the things that I think if you don't fix up, will repeat itself tomorrow. I don't know if you care to comment.
Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee, the Minister present here. Allow me, Chairperson, before we embark in the discussion themselves, to extend our apology for the oversight on our side. When you visited the region last week, our regional commissioner was not present. I would like to believe that he tendered an apology verbally. But in my capacity, in consultation with the minister, the deputy minister, I have here in my possession a copy of a formal official apology to yourself before we respond to those issues. Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee, I think you have given us an opportunity to cleanse ourselves and the organization on the issues that affect us. Certainly, colleagues who have been here for a number of years will be able to explain the matters before us. I'll therefore give our Chief Deputy Commissioner, Mr. Motseki, who is the Head of Corrections, and Mr. Nele, who is the Regional Commissioner of KwaZulu-Natal, with an opportunity to give you high-level responses to the matters under discussion. However, before they do that, Chairperson, I'd like to give you comfort that under the leadership that has been installed at Correctional Services, we've made a pledge to yourselves that we're not going to give you half-cooked responses, neither are we going to coach the responses that you need, because we have been charged with the mandate of taking care of people who have deviant activity or behavior. Therefore, we'd like to indicate to yourself that we have a number of quick wins, one of which I should think has been lacking for a number of years, which you have highlighted. is the establishment of standard operating procedures. An organization that is lacking on this matter, no matter what we do, there will be no accountability, and therefore we need to establish standard operating procedure across the organization. Regional commissioners will be accountable for what they are supposed to be doing. At headquarters level, there has to be a strong interaction between with headquarters and the regions. And these issues are key for us to be able to deliver on our mandate. We want to give South Africans the comfort of mind that when prisoners are given to our care, that there will be less escapes or no escapes at all. We cannot promise you today that there will be zero escapes in this year. But to work towards an indicator that provides South Africans and yourselves that we are doing what you are supposed to be doing. Secondly, before we get to other issues, we'd like to indicate to yourselves that you will establish strong financial management and control, because the issue of indicating that we'll be installing 10 staff at various centers is also part of the security measures that need to be looked into. I've taken note of this concern, which was raised 2 years ago, and therefore the minister, myself, and the chief financial officer and the CDC collections will sit and look at the matter as to how we address it as quickly as possible. Because it is not comforting for us sitting here to be questioned of issues that happened 2 years ago. Therefore, the question of accountability and implementation of what we state in the strategic plans will be implemented. We'd also want to indicate to yourselves that the new leadership will also go into a strategic review of our plans so that they are aligned with the performance agreement that our minister has signed with the president. The time for non-action within the department, I should think, is slowly fading. With the leadership that we have at headquarters and regions, I believe sincerely that we have the material and leadership that is capable of transforming this organization. I should think the issue that you might also want to discuss with us in a later engagement with yourselves is issues around security, escapes, overcrowding, assault, and the like. So these are issues that you want to highlight to yourselves that will deal with them accordingly. We'll set in the heightened security in all our facilities. We've given the minister and the deputy minister an assurance that we'll put hands on deck. It's not going to be business as usual. We'll need to have to inculcate a culture of accountability and responsibility for actions that we've taken. On that note, Chair, with your permission, I'll therefore afford my colleague and fellow colleagues from Department of Correctional Services, Mr. Motseki, and others who want to respond to the matters that you've raised with us. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Commissioner. To the Portfolio Committee Minister, thanks so much. Chairperson, with respect to the 10-staff issue, you'd remember that at some point in the past when we interacted with you, we did indicate that we decommissioned the 10-staff at a time when we did not have personnel to manage the control rooms. We are in the process at the moment to recommission them again. And so indeed, when you visited Durban Westville, you will indeed have found them not working. It's a matter that we assist with currently to attend to the 10 staff. It is only, and I've said that before, and if it was, there was an instance of a camera not working, it might be an isolated instance. The only thing that was decommissioned were 10 staff and not the camera. The minister is on record having said that we have employed approximately 500 officials to go and work in the control rooms. So they should naturally be able from the control rooms using the same cameras to see movement of offenders wherever they are. So I'm saying on record now, the only thing that was decommissioned and not working, which we assist with and attending to, is the issue of the 10 staff. Naturally, this issue of 10 staff, you remember, most of you have seen it, the 10 staff block entrance and exit. It's what we have called access control. And so in decommissioning that at that specific moment, the intention was to allow ability of both our staff and inmates under supervision and control to be able to come in and out. Of course, admittedly, as Ms. Ngaile will most probably indicate later on, there has been a very serious issue of neglect that has resulted in those officials being subjected to discipline. Neglect in the form of absence of direct supervision of the inmates, neglect of ordinary procedural issues ranging from searching, direct supervision of inmates, and so on, which has resulted in part in the end result of the eight awaiting trial detainees escaping. Part of what we have done immediately, Chair, which you might have seen when you arrived, there was response immediately to a number of issues which were problems that resulted in the inmate escaping. One of which was the immediate rollout of what we called automated personal identification system, the concern that you just raised now about identity photos. There was a program that was planned that was going to take place over a period of time until June, but when this thing happened in Durban Westfield, that program was disrupted to prioritize Durban Westfield. I'm informed at the moment that that is still working in that facility. I've also said on that for Chair in previous occasions that in respect of access control and investment in security technology generally, that we do have a problem where over time, over the years, multiple sets of technological infrastructure for security purposes was installed in our facilities. I have said at that time that what we have done in partnership with CSIR has been to ask CSIR to develop an integration model for this disparate technologies that are not talking to one another. And so we are still working on that with CSIR. In the course of this financial year, we'll be making a bid for funding for that reintegration for the next financial year. There are a number of other things that I suspect we most probably have discussed with you when we presented our strategic plan. Some of them relating to the issues that I've just raised now, but part of them relating to the specific training of security officials. The outcome of the OSDs, what it has done favorably for us in spite of all other problems that are attended to that, is that for the first time it has given us exclusively security officials that will work exclusively on security issues and not have to work different other functions. And so the training program that we assist with now will be focused exclusively on providing focused training for security officials. And therefore these are officials that would not have the burden of having to do security today and tomorrow do logistics work and so on. They will be exclusively left to do security issues. Of course, individuals have got a choice at some point. They may choose to do in their career path to do something else different. And if and when they have to do that, they will have to acquire a different set of training to be able to jump the specific stream of security to go to those others. And so this will give us a bit of more focus, individual employees whose responsibility and care will be focusing on the security issues. I want to pause there for a second, Chair, and I may come back with Ms. Mungale, who will not have answered all the other questions. Sir.
Do you want to add anything, Mr. Ngan?
Thank you so much, Chairperson, and the honorable members of the committee, Minister and the Commission. Well, on the issue of Ms. Wilson, the point has been made, Chairperson, that our view is that they might have which is still in the hands of the court, it might not be proper to comment on the matters that are before the court, for fear that we may be, what is it called? No, they would say that we're in contempt of court there. If we discuss matters that are before the court, maybe one area that I can indicate is that, of course, former Acting National Commissioner have come and spoken to the committee. I would want to say, as a person responsible for that part of the department, and say, I think it was one of the strange things we've agreed that an offender would stay within a mail facility for that period. There are steps that are being taken, Chairperson, to correct the situation. One of the questions raised is that what are we doing to ensure that we don't have Ms. Peterson or whoever going forward again. It's happening again. We've strengthened the area that says all offenders that come to correctional services, they must be properly searched, even if it means that those people are what we call strip searched. It is in our practice and it is in our law that we should also put before a medical practitioner an offender, so that matters of identity may not be in doubt going forward. So we are planning that area to ensure that all our medical practitioners within the limited resources are able to attend to this. But we rely on session to say that we are able to say this is a male person, this is a female person who is an offender. In this case of Ms. Wilson, I want to consider that it's one of the strange things that has ever happened. So without taking much on the matter, I would say that we're taking up seriously the issues of negligence, which is apparent to say that the matter may have stayed in a male center for that period. Again, on the question of escapes, Chairperson. I think because of the seriousness, I want to put it here to the committee that I think the matter of escapes and matters of death and question cases, we take them very seriously. It is the reason why we wake up in the morning and come to work. Even if incidents of this nature have happened, I think to us who are career officials, it's a blot into our career. It cannot be that we don't take seriously the death of offenders and the escape of offenders. That's the very reason, the essence of having the correctional services in the first place. Because of the seriousness of the matter, Chairperson, I want to say that working together with other cluster departments, we're looking at the matter, apart from being the fact that there are criminal processes that are currently in place. Beyond the obvious, beyond the internal processes, I think we are looking together with the staff, NIA, at a broader level, outside the scope of correctional services, when it comes to escape, we say, the perceived collusion, the perceived gross negligence, basically, we are able to attend it within our own resources internally, but also being able to step and benefit from the relationship and working together with the cluster department within the region of KwaZulu-Natal. So I would plead that maybe we would also be allowed to that process of concluding on the disciplinary processes going forward. and also dealing with the work at the cluster level. Safe to say again, Chairperson, that we've taken steps to speak to our officials, including the area commissioner, Deputy Commissioner Manama, all heads of the center, and supervisors. We've taken steps to speak to them and spoke to the officials themselves, the entire West Bay. I've taken the travel in my delegation to go and speak to them about the need for them to do the proper things and do their work properly to search offenders, to ensure that the officials at all times that they are guarding offenders. So equally, as I say, that it's a serious message, Chairperson. In the event that we are able to see that there are these cross negligence and collusion that we say that the code of perception, we want to send a message out there in public and to our officials as well that these kind of things are not going to be tolerated in the correctional system that we're trying to build in South Africa. Maybe as a point of clarity, the former head of center, Mr. Mabanga, on the day of the escape, he was weakened off. A certain member who was supposed to have worked that weekend, it did not. Another official then stepped in as the head of the center. Mr. Mabanga was on his last week, so he retired at the end of that month, I think at the end of February. Without maybe going into detail about the investigation, there's a question by another member here about four members who were at work on the day in question and part 16 officials that were in the system. Naturally, Chairperson, investigation will point to other officials, even leading to a particular incident that a certain individual might not have performed certain functions, which also gave rise to that kind of an incident. So in this instance, I would want to say that apart from the officials who were at work on the day in question, there could be other people after the investigation that we felt that they should also be held accountable for the escape that happened. The movement of officials after the suspension, they were initially suspended, Chairperson, for a period of more than 30 days because of the time frames, but also mindful of the fact that in those centers in Durban, you constantly hear heads of the centers and the area commissioner complaining about the shortages. We felt that even if we are not comfortable with that, but we should place them at another center, not at the center where they are working. So suspension basically cannot be used as a form of punishment in the process because they have not been found guilty. But what we are saying is that it is not desirable that they are back at work, especially at the center where they are still facing questions about the particular issue. We will place them in another center pending the inquiry. But that has just happened recently after a long period of suspension. Well, said that in terms of the time frame, but also to say that those particular centers are experiencing shortages. For the benefit of the committee, Chair, I want to say that other than this particular incident of SK, we've had a number of incidents in Durban where we've taken a decision to suspend a number of officials. At the time, the last time I recall that, I think it was coming close to 40. So you would appreciate that there's quite a high number of people who are on suspension in a center which is also experiencing some shortages. So as a means of trying to strike a balance, we have said that those people can be placed elsewhere because the purpose of suspension and the measure is to say that we should not interfere with the process of an investigation. Once the investigation has been done, we have said it is not desirable that these people should be going back at mid-year where the escape happened, but they can be taken.
letter, would want to pose the chairperson.
Right. I have noted National Commissioner, but I've noted Paliso and self. Maybe we'll and Mamgwe, and then maybe we'll allow you to wrap it up so that we can move on. But just before we take self, Paliso and Mamgwenya, Mr. Mateki, you're saying to this committee that you only decommissioned, when I say you, I'm saying the department only decommissioned the turnstile. And we are saying to you that we were in Durban and the surveillance cameras were not working. We are saying it to you. They were not working. We are saying to you that the day that we were there, there were three service providers who were trying to sort it out. And I don't know how else to put it, but there was a staff official, National Commissioner, a white guy. He seems to be the head of IT there. He indicated to us when we asked him, he indicated to us that the software and those type of things were not sorted out. And our amazement was that quite a bit of the budget, the current budget, was for IT. So you might not have not commissioned it. I mean, you might have not decommissioned it, but the fact is it was not working on that day. I think that's the point that we were making. It was not working on that day. But from a mindset change as well, National Commissioner, you know, in Durban especially, you know, your staff were saying to us that they've got a problem with these cameras because they perceive the cameras to be there to spy on them doing their work. This is the mindset in Durban West. They were saying, no, ask for a camera because these cameras are used to spying on us and whether we're doing our... So I'm saying even that mindset of those officials there is part of the problem. So one hand, the surveillance are not working, but I think on the other hand, for us all to move, we need to shift some of the mindsets of those that are working in the department. You'll respond later, but let's take Mr. Self, Paliso, and then Ngwenya.
Thank you, Chair. And a big welcome to the National Commissioner. I hope you have a long and profitable stay in the department. I look forward to working with you. Just on the question of the surveillance cameras, Chair, as you know, we as a country have spent a huge amount of money on installing these systems throughout our correctional centres over the last while, over the last 5-6 years. And I would just like the assurance at some point, it doesn't have to be today, and it probably can't be today, to get some sort of status report of where this equipment has been installed and what, you know, what is the status of it in each of the centres, so that we can actually know whether, as a country, we're getting value for money out of this particular contract. But, Chair, you work... You pointed out that many of the people on the committee were relatively new. I'm not one of them. I've been here on and off since 1994, and I sort of feel like a life sentence here. But my experience has taught me that really the situation in the Department of Correctional Services has three sort of things that continue to be problems year in, year out. And those are, firstly, staff. Secondly, the facilities and equipment, and thirdly, the problem of overcrowding. And, for example, I don't know of any escape that has happened in the last couple of years, anyway, that hasn't involved collusion by the staff in some way or another. And every time there is an escape, one says, okay, well, it was the staff, and the staff weren't here, and they weren't doing this, or they weren't following procedures, and it never really... As you yourself said, we never get to the source of the problem. And in that sense, I'm very pleased at the National Commissioner's assurance that we're going to have some standard operations procedures that presumably would then determine day for day, do this, do that, do the next thing, and if you don't do that, there are consequences. In that respect, I'd like to suggest that as for the National Commissioner's consideration, I'm very pleased that he is demanding certain accountability, and I think the accountability has got to go all the way down the chain at centre level and even at section level. And one of the great advantages, for example, of the contract signed with the PPPs is that there are consequences. If a prisoner escapes, there are consequences. If a meal isn't provided, if an inmate dies, there are consequences. And I really would like to suggest that what we need to do is we need to have a performance agreement with every single manager all the way down the line so that there are definite measurable outcomes and there's consequences if those outcomes are not met for the individual concerned. Because if you don't get that accountability, we're never, I think, going to deal with the problem of underperforming staff. And as far as facilities are concerned, quite a lot of the problems are legitimately traced back to the facilities. I mean, the facilities are old, they run down, the equipment doesn't work, the things are, because of overcrowding and a variety of things, the facilities aren't quite what they should be. But what frustrates me terribly is when you've got a new facility, brand new facility, and the problems start happening from day one. And I refer here to Kimberley. Kimberley was commissioned, earlier this year, I think. And before it was even commissioned, there were problems with the IT that wasn't properly installed, the telephones that weren't installed. I heard last week there was a hostage drama there involving people in the hospital. I hear today that there were some students that were having sex in one of the inmates' toilets. I mean, it just goes on, and one doesn't get to the bottom of it. One doesn't stop it, ever. So, you'll excuse me if I sound a bit frustrated, but it's because these things never seem to be able to get any better. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would not like to repeat what the chairperson has said, but you have covered me with the person who has come in to inform us about the system that is not working. So I want just to correct a mistake. The Durban Westville escape, it's either a commissioner, national commissioner, there were no staff, or the staff were there and they were not in that particular area. Because it is clear there were nobody overseeing the inmates because the time was so enough for them to break out. There was enough time for them. Obviously, other people were not at work. And for us, what I questioned that day in Durban Westville is that how do they know the site where they were going out is a safe site to escape? How did they know that if they didn't have a map? How did they know that if there were no direction from somebody? Really, there is no answer. The answer is not clear to us. We hear that the hearings, the disciplinary hearings, or what, it's either there's a shortage of staff, a commissioner, or somebody were helping these people out, or nobody were at work. So that is my observation I have made in Durban West. Yeah. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, although you have been covered me about answering Mr. Mzik, you know, okay, I've got a problem of the department of using taxpayers' money traveling to come to this committee with a fancy report as if things are right outside there and it's not right at all. We're from oversight right now. We did see what we have seen. But the department then comes here and tell us that, oh, the cameras is working, the control room is blah, 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 blah. Chair, I think if maybe we need to come out from the parliament and work with them, they will do so. Because I think we are going to finish our term with this disaster center. Because department, it looks like they're not ready to change this prison to be a prison. The way the management is a disaster. All they need is money to get nice salary just to sit in their office and do nothing. Chairperson, Durban-Westville is a disaster. It's a disaster. I don't want you to say anything about them that is good in that center. The building is old. There's no maintenance. Maintenance is just a mess. But there is a management. Not even one of the department come to us and said, we report, but there's nothing is happening. They wait for the portfolio committee to go to the center and see this disaster, and then always you must say, explain why this thing has been happening. This is not good, Chair. There's a management there that is looking this center, and they must have a vision of the center to change the center to be a prison. If the Ipukile, Mongalin, the portfolio committees of Pegamanzi, Akakasa, for 4 years, Amapoilari, Angaselez, there's no hot water. But there is a management. And the department keep on coming to this portfolio committee, reporting, come with nice document, reporting as if everything's right outside there. And there's nothing right. Outside there. And I think Mr. Msegi must stop that. To come here always and make as if isn't the right pa. I can't make the right pa. And I'm happy because I'm talking this, that commissioner was there. We're with him. They're working under environment, a bad guy. But when they are with the minister, I don't think that they're telling you, minister, what is happening. Because they make some or whatever. I don't know. Because the situation that are waiting under there is not good at all. Chair, in terms of this escape, I think we need the clear report, a written report. Zile, they are reporting verbally. But the department must come up with a clear report what is happening in Westville. We are tired of this thing of escaping the Westville. Each and every year, there must be an escape in Westville. I think
Commissioner and your department and everybody else, you have an opportunity to wrap up and we'll move on to the next agenda item.
Commissioner responds to all of these issues. I think the commissioner should really respond to these issues in well brief. I just want to take the opportunity to say that I have to recuse myself at this point. But I want to assure you, Chair, and the portfolio committee that there is committed leadership in correctional services. Of course, you do have pockets of people who are problematic. And it's not as though we have a problem of dealing with that. We now have a new commissioner, we have a CFO, and very soon, Chair, I'm just allowing the commissioner to settle a bit, we'll be announcing transfers of senior managers. Because it seems that's an exercise that we need to undertake. We would have done this 2 months ago, but I didn't want to do it with the acting national commissioner. I felt that it was going to be too much for her to handle. Now that we have a national commissioner who is acquainting himself with the situation at in the department, very soon we'll be doing a bit of shifting of people around. So that, because I think that there's a challenge of people finding some of these areas being a comfort zone for them. And I do want to say that one of the things which I have picked up is that yes, it is true that managers at head office have no clue of what is happening in the region. I think that myself and the deputy minister have a better sense of what is happening at the centers because we've been there than some of the managers at head office. And I think it's a something that I would like to acknowledge up front. We don't have to be defensive about it. I've told them repeatedly, they themselves know. They have no clue of what is happening and the difficulties and the challenges which are confronted by heads of centers, area managers, and ARCs on a daily basis. But I also want to say, Chair, I see today on a passing shot that there is a report, the letter which you gave to us from the inspecting judge yesterday, a copy of which you gave to Mike yesterday. We've never received such a letter which raises this particular issue. Whenever the inspecting judge corresponds to the deputy minister, because that's a delegated function to the deputy minister, he copies me letters. And I know everything that he has reported to the department. This particular issue has never been reported. And in any event, where we've received reports, we've acted by commissioning investigation. So on this matter at the box deck, which is in the media today, we've never received a letter, and therefore there is no investigation from my side underway, unless there is an investigation at box deck itself. But I was not aware of this particular incident. As I said earlier on, whenever we've had incidents which are rather challenging and which tarnish the image of the department, such as death, such as escapes, we have taken the initiative from head office to actually commission an investigation from my office. So on this matter, we were not aware. I'm sure that now that the commissioner is there, he understands that one of his responsibilities would be precisely to do that. And lastly, Chair, I'm sure you, Chair, you'll always remember that one of the reasons why we decided to set up a ministerial task team to go around to all the provinces, to all the centers, it was precisely because of this sort of thing, where you do not have access to information, or where people deliberately conceal information and keep it away from you. And we've had, and I must say that they've done two provinces. And in the work that we've done in the two provinces, we think that there are certain steps which we can take immediately to try and alleviate some bit of overcrowding problem, but also to put the various categories where they should be confined to, and not the way things are, such as your mentally ill inmates and so on, because we have big numbers of those kinds of people. So I'm just saying, Chair, we committed to come and give a report. I've requested through you, Chair, that we should also come and brief you about the outcomes, the 12 outcomes, and given to us by the presidency, but also the performance agreement signed between the president and the minister. So that as you do your work of oversight, as you move around as the committee, you can also assist us to make sure that some of the areas that you focus on are those areas on which we will be measured, whether we are succeeding in doing our work as a department or not. Thank you very much, Chair.
Commissioner? Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee. While the Minister is exiting, I do share and understand your frustration. I am deeply affected by this, but may I be allowed, therefore, to look at the issues as they were discussed. We'd like to indicate to the Portfolio Committee and yourself, Chair, that they will provide you with a report that of quality, substantive, accurate, no sugarcoating. Where there are problems, we'll be confrontational with yourselves and talk about issues that affect us head on. It is not going to help our case to be defensive, as the Minister has indicated, because you have a function and a duty of oversight on the mandate that has been given to yourselves by Parliament. On the first issue, reports will be accurate, and therefore the reason of accountability shall be stressed. I'll make it a point that I visit all the centres, or key centres, to acquaint myself and to deepen my understanding of the issues that have been discussed here. As we speak, I've just visited one yesterday. It was a quick walk in and walk out, and therefore I'm not able to understand the problem that confronts that facility. But certainly the interaction with the regions where facilities are, I'll be able to make my own informed decision and have a discussion with the leadership that is at the head of this function. On the third issue that I want to indicate to yourselves, that will heighten levels of investigation, so that we have substantive investigation around matters that affect the correctional services. I've listened to yourselves on the question of suspensions and disciplinary processes that are long, wherein officials are suspended but move to other facilities. I should think this is a problem that confronts government in general, wherein disciplinary processes take too long to be concluded, but without disrupting the due process of the law. We'll make it a point with the team that I lead that we look into the issues of disciplinary measures and suspensions and fast-track them appropriately so that we can deal with the matters at hand. I've indicated, Chair and members of Portfolio Committee, that the establishment of standard operating procedures is very key. Because if you don't have that tool, I would like to quote the Chair in particular when he says, we lack the tools of trade which we have, but we're not making use of them and maximizing on them. And therefore, on the levels of standard operating procedures, this will be cascaded across the organization from leadership to the lowest level, so that everybody is accountable for his or her action. The issue that we have also noted with the ministry as a whole is that there is a need to vet our officials. We're a huge organization, and I should think that is also a cause for concern. We need to work with other cluster institutions like the national intelligence, the police, and justice to be able to understand who are we employing in our facilities. I'm not going to make an intelligent comment about collusion. It might be possible, it might not be. But the fact of the matter is that, as Mam Ngwenya Eshu, is that it is strange that these things happen when we expect officials to be on duty. It might be that also we're not doing our intelligence properly. We must bear in mind that prisoners and criminals also have their intelligence sources. They do part of what they're supposed to be doing as a trade, and therefore we need also to heighten our intelligence information within the prison system. If we need to have informers within the prison communities, I should think we need to, because it is to our best advantage to avert possible escapes. On the issue of transfers, it's an issue that the minister has indicated that we need to look at it so that we don't have officials staying in one area for a long time. But that's an issue that we need to look to in terms of conditions of employment and all these issues relating to human resources. You have noted, Chair, with your team here that we have serious problems of staffing. This will attend to. We are not providing any quick win on this. We shall provide you with a report going forward as to how we hope to solve this issue. Suffice to indicate that being new in the organization with the team that we have, we certainly would like to make an apology if some of the responses that were provided here were seen to be demeaning or not providing you with a response that you would like to hear. But Chairperson and Portfolio Committee, we would like to give an assurance, as you have requested us to do, that they will not wake up tomorrow and not hear of an escape. It's a process that will fast track. We'd like to reduce the levels of problems that we have in our facilities. Yes, we acknowledge that we have old facilities. There are budgetary issues that we need to look into as to how we upgrade them. It is not acceptable that a new facility, therefore, you have problems of IT. I should think at the center here is IT-related matters also. Chairperson, I can assure you, with a team with corrections sitting here, that we'll have a separate debate and discussion with all members of the leadership as to how we look into the issues that have been raised with us. I'd like to give you an assurance that in the next interaction, if out of 10 issues that you have raised with us, certainly be assured that we'll be able to give you around 20-30% response, because we cannot give you a response that is going to just make you happy that we'll have all the answers reported to. But certainly we'll give you what you call work in progress and indicate to you when we hope to achieve the targets that we have set ourselves. For this current financial year, I'm looking for a chairperson and members of the portfolio committee, your critical oversight on issues that bedevil us as an organization, and also the suggestions that were given by a member here as to how we need to deal with the problems. On that note, I'd like to take a pause and take another set of questions or suggestions that we need to take back home so that we can make appropriate inputs on. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Nancy. We're going to move on to some of the observations that we've picked up on our oversight. If they've been covered in this one, it's fine, but there might be others that have not been covered. Again, Commissioner, I suppose it's part even of your orientation because you might be unaware of them. But even before we get into the detail, Commissioner, there's a few maybe overall issues that I think would assist you. You know, we always hear that unless the minister sends a directive for corrective action or whatever, nothing happens. You know, Kutama, people burned the place down. No proactive measures from the department. The minister must say do an investigation. So I'm saying just even from management's part, the culture of waiting for directives from up above, I think, is something that we will have to work on. That something happens. For instance, Mr. Self is raising the issue of a nurse that has now been held hostage by 30 people in Kimberley. We can't wait for the minister to ask the question, why was there one female nurse with 30 inmates? It's something the department must do, unless they're able to come to us and say, these are the reasons. But unless the minister or yourself go and say to Kimberley, how come there was only one female nurse with 30, nothing will come out of it. So I'm saying, I think management needs to change the way they manage. I really do think that they need to manage and become a bit more proactive and not wait for directives to come from yourself. So I thought overall, Chair, NC, it's something that you should just bear in mind. Around the oversight, I think we'll give members about 5 minutes each just to raise whatever they want to raise in any order. And then we can have a discussion around it, because really it's about discussions and clarity. Let me start with myself. We will give everybody a chance that wants to speak, even those that were not there. Two or three very serious ones for me, Commissioner. You know, we were in Kimberley. Not Kimberley, we were in Kokstad. Kokstad was opened by the now president in 2002 at about 500 million rand. That facility is probably 75% empty. And the reasons are because if you fill it to capacity, we'll have a problem because of ventilation and all those type of things. Now we have a facility there that is built for purpose, can't be used because of poor workmanship. I would want to understand who did that work and why don't we get something back for that, because it really amounts to wasteful expenditure. That's what it amounts to. 75% of the prison is not being, I think it has a capacity of 1,006. We were told there's only about 500 people that are in there. And the only reason why there's 500 people is because if you fill it any further, ventilation systems won't manage it. So that's one of the issues. That 7 years down the line, we have a facility that is just totally inadequate for the purposes that was built. Nobody has come, again, this is what Ms. Ngwenya said, nobody, I'm hearing it for the first time. If I had not gone on oversight, I would not have known that Kimberley is not filled because of poor workmanship. Kokstad, I beg your pardon. So, again, I'm saying, one, it's wasted space, but two, whoever built it must be called to order. And so that we can utilize this facility for what it was intended to be utilized. The second issue I wanted to raise again, you know, in Durban, Westville, the youth center, no hot water for the past 6 months, I think, or the past year, and no hot water for the next 6 months because the boiler is not working, and to fix up the boiler, you've got to break down a wall. These are the explanations given to us. The bottom line,
Young people are not having hot water this winter and probably will not have hot water for the next 6 months. Again, I am asking the question, and I think when members talk about their visit to Rustenburg, they will raise a similar type of issue in the other facilities that they went to visit. So what I do think we need to do urgently, Commissioner, is one, to understand what it is that we can do. When I say we, I'm saying the department. And what is it that correct public works or anybody else can do so that we fix up these things. Part of your problem is that the service level agreement, and we're meeting with the Department of Public Works next week and yourself, please come with something that we can, even ourselves, measure these guys. If this is what public works must do, they must be able to do it. And what are the, as Mr. Self said, what are the consequences if they don't do it? So I just wanted to raise those issues about our relationship between ourselves and public works, because facilities are reaching a point where they'll just fall on their own, or others will have spent R500 million on them. Nothing has happened. Mr. Self is talking about Kimberley. We went to Kimberley a week before it was opened, or a couple of weeks before it was opened. No communication capability, because there were no lines. Now, 15 years ago, we had this problem where we built a clinic and no roads. So you have a clinic with no roads. 15 years ago, we had that problem, and we learned from it. Correctional services, 15 years later, is doing the same type of thing. Yeah. Built a prison, no communications. In fact, when we were there, people were being transferred to Kimberley and didn't know how they were going to tell their parents, because there was no facility to phone to say, look, we've been transferred from Mangaung to Kimberley, or we've been transferred from Sirius to Kimberley. There just was no communication. And then if we say to ourselves, Gucci, we are building, there's a plan. NC, I'm just saying that at some point we need to have a discussion around facilities and how we better manage it. I thought I must raise that, and I'm sure members will raise the specifics where they went to. But overall, that is a problem. So we'll open it up. We'll start with right at the end there. 5 minutes, if you just want to, because it's really about information sharing. And we'll come all the way up itself, even if you weren't there. But just issues around personnel, issues around infrastructure, and issues around service delivery, specifically in our oversight experience. Thanks, Ms. Lai.
Thanks, Chairperson. Allow me, Chairperson, to take this opportunity also to welcome the Commissioner. Chairperson, our oversight, I think I will. My oversight will be around the Rustenburg Juvenile Center of Excellence. We call it it's a center of disaster, not center of excellence. Jefferson, as a new member of this committee, but I've learned a lot, I've heard a lot, I've seen a lot. But I think Jefferson, really, there's a lot to be done in this committee. There was an issue at Rustenburg where inmates, in fact, were very complaining. In fact, not inmates, officials were complaining. Three warders were looking after 260 inmates. And one of the female warders was saying they don't even have toilets. They must go outside to relieve them. To relieve themselves. And Chairperson also complains around waters working night shift are not relieved after every 5 hours. And you know, Chairperson, what I've seen in Rustenburg is a really disaster. The building is, I think, one day to collapse on top of the offenders. Because the building is not conducive for offenders. It's a very old building. It's rotten. There are potholes all over in the kitchen area and so on. And really, Chairperson, I think the department must really take these issues very, very serious. To go out themselves, not to come really, as one colleague of mine has said, to come here with fancy reports. And hence, when we go out there, it's a disaster. You know, for me, I will go to other areas, but I will want to focus on
on Rustenburg. You look on the roof. The roof are rotten, are leaking. You know, the facility is not right. It's not conducive for offenders. And really, Chairperson, something must be done. I don't know how to put it, but really, it is us. But I think I will come back in Randall in when other colleagues are coming in with other lands. But in terms of also staffing, the staffing, there's a lack of staff in that area, in that Rustenburg center. They were complaining that the shortages of staff, and I think that also must be taken into consideration. And I was even saying the issue of moratorium, we have to speak to the minister to lift that issue up of moratorium around staff. Chairperson, thank you. I will stop there.
Thanks, Ms. Patel. But you don't listen to comment. Okay, Mangwe. Nyanda, I beg your pardon.
Thank you, Chairperson. What I want to get a clarity from the Mr. Mosegi, I just want to find out how frequently is the region visiting the centers? And the national, do you sometimes go down and visit the centers or you don't? You only get reports from the regions because it's a problem. My second question is that the members, they gave us a report that they are demotivated about the working relationship in the center, and the management itself is a problem in Rustenburg. As my colleague was saying, the staff is complaining. One lady, she was telling us that she's doing 10 cents, she alone. And where are the other people who are working in Rustenburg by that time? And there's no hot water in Rustenburg. As my colleague has said, the building is finished. We even propose that that center must be demolished. The kitchen is in tatters. It's a pig kitchen, not human beings. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will first also start with Rustenburg Juvenile Center. The place, National Commissioner, where the juveniles are sleeping is very dangerous. It's dangerous in the sense of that building can fall upon those inmates any time, any space of time, any day. We were very keen to write a letter to the president to close that center. We informed the commissioner that when we were there, that we are worried about what we have seen. Then we went to Kudama, excellent center, the PPP. Now my question is, this PPP have got very nice infrastructure, intact, and we've got inmates of 98 years there. They've got this program that we suggested and advised corrections that give this program to the juveniles, at least rehabilitate them. At the time they are out of these centers, they will be very helpful for themselves, and they will be very high moral motivated and not coming back to DCS centers again. The question is, we are implementing a very high level service in the PPPs. The PPPs have got directors from abroad that lectured us as portfolio committee how to conduct the oversight, tell us how to do our oversight, what they want from us and not what we want from them. That was very disturbing. And really we have to turn things around.
We have to look what the president has said in SONA, so that we can align ourselves as the DCS and changing the environment in corrections. The question of BUSASA also. BUSASA is using inmates for doing the job, but if BUSASA is getting paid, that is a question mark. That is what we observed also in deputy. The other thing, a national commissioner, is the question of staff who are going to pension. They are not, while they are in the center, implementing the care and the rehabilitation program. But when they go out of the system, those people are at the PPPs, running the care program, running the rehabilitation program. That's a big question mark. I don't understand. I want an explanation. It is not clear. People are not doing their job while they're in the system, but when they are out, they are very keen to come and do the program. Is that telling me that they are maneuvering the policies to suit them to come back and tell us now they are going to do a better job for us when they are in the PPP with government funding? That's a question mark. the matter that is also a pain for us is the awaiting trial detainees with a bail of 1,000 or less. Really, we have to work on that so that we can minimize the overcrowding in our correction center. And some of these awaiting trial detainees are foreigners. They don't know what are they doing there. It was in the female side. They don't know what they are doing there. We tried to pull something out of them, but we could understand here and there what they are saying, that I'm here, my people doesn't know I'm here, I don't understand, I don't know when am I going to appear. It was not written on their card also. We checked the card and nothing was written on the card. That is a worrying factor. That how come that officials don't make put in effort to look that these people, parents or whatever, is informed, and so that we can minimize this overcrowding in our facilities. Chairperson, I'll pause. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I've heard the National Commissioner. I want to wish him well on this rocky road. But I would just like to say that when you take over a new business, naturally you take stock of what your assets are, what your liabilities are, and I would say that I trust that you would do that. And after you've determined what your assets and liabilities are and your challenges are, that we would one day have the opportunity of looking at your findings and share with you some ways forward. At the moment, Chair, as a result of this oversight visit, I must make a point here that when it comes to the relationship between the department and the Department of Public Works, I don't know how the relationship is structured. I don't know how we operate. But with so much human power available at the centers, I wonder whether you really need such a relationship. Whether the budgets for outsourcing work to DPW cannot be utilized to rather create in-house capacity using, by and large, the inmates that you have because many of them, I want to believe, do have skills to do some of the work that is required to keep the centers in ship-shape order. Now, Chairperson, things like, for example, you heard one of my colleagues talking about the roofs. I mean, you don't need a rocket scientist outsourcing to a rocket scientist to come and do the roof. It's an operation that can be conducted in-house. And if the current arrangements with DPW inhibit us from doing so, then it is time that we change those arrangements and that we consider that with the least possible delay. Chairperson, one little example. When we were taken on the route of how the escapees escaped, the iron bars were welded after the escapes, but let me promise you that if you have a 5-pound hammer, not even a 10-pound one, you will be able to knock those iron bars again, and you would be able to break them without much effort. Now, there is a quality of work that was done there. Who did it, I don't know. But if it was DPW, then it says a lot of their of the quality of work that they produce. Chairperson, my colleagues here have made mention. But, you know, if one looks at the water that's gushing out at the juvenile center where we were, then you can cry. Because that water is going down the drain and it is going to the sewer plant or wherever. It is not being harvested in buckets, even for usage on the grounds there. To water the lawn or whatever, would have been some or other form of utilizing it for a better purpose. Now, I mean, simple little things like putting in a washer here, changing a tap there. I don't think, again, that one has to wait for DPW to come and do it. I mean, in our own homes, if there's an emergency like this, I ask myself, would we allow that water to gush like that? And I say that the management at these centers need to accept responsibility for this kind of wasteful expenditure, because it is municipal-provided water and one has to pay for it. And here we allow it to go down the drain. I'm emphasizing this. It might sound petty, but it is the small things that we don't correct that leads to the bigger things going wrong. And then you find these hardened criminals escaping. So, Chairperson, I think one of the things that the Commissioner must pay attention to is whether this relationship where we need to do everything via DPW is one that is really bringing us the necessary fruit or not. He's got to look at that very urgently. Self-sufficiency, Chairperson. One found that particularly in the areas where the centers are in rural areas, that there is a certain degree of self-sufficiency with regard to, for example, meat, vegetables, eggs, and that sort of stuff. But we were again told that whilst they produce sufficient, in certain instances, even much more than their own requirements, the budgets to keep those facilities going are not forthcoming. And I think in order to make our centers more self-sufficient, using again the inmate labor, and the inmate labor can one day, of course, if they released, be utilized elsewhere much more profitably. They can start their own enterprises. One should look at that particular aspect to make these centers far more self-sufficient. As far as the workshops are concerned, there are beautiful workshops. One can see that they were solid buildings, but again, the buildings are run down. There is not enough equipment there are not enough people to impart skills and education and what have you. We've seen beautiful classrooms there, especially at Rustenburg, totally underutilized. I think we need to pay more attention to issues like that so that inmates can be kept busy, that something fruitful comes out of their presence over there. Finally, Chair, there's been this complaint about staff accommodation, and we need to address that very urgently, especially in areas where people are transferred from their current bases, residential bases. They find it extremely difficult to find adequate accommodation. We need to look at that. There was also complaints, for example, about the, I don't know what sort of subsidy schemes there are in place regarding assistance to officials to purchase homes. One should look at that aspect as well, because at the end of the day, it's not only the official, he or she has a family, and that family must be given some or other form of security. And owning a home is one of those forms of security that one should provide. Chairperson, there's much more, but this will be the lot for now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
Chairperson. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I think maybe the department must get the full report of us of the oversight visit, and when we finish to make our recommendation in terms of all the things that we've seen here. Okay, my colleagues have touched some of the things, but I want to start with the Rustenburg. That in terms of our legislative chair, the wards working at night shift are not receiving every 5 hours as per legislature said. Then on the filling of the vacancies, again, there's a complaint in terms of the staff that the regional management have explained to us the shortage of staff. But they've got a problem of moratorium on appointment. I would like the commissioner also to consider that. The running short of nurses also is a challenge in Rustenburg. Also, teachers. And we have been told that some crucial posts have not been filled since 2003, which is the problem. In terms of the maintenance, my colleague has been explained, but I wanted to add to say our recommendation in terms of the kitchen there is a disaster, and it needs an urgent attention. One, they don't have a fridge to put food. They are using ama deep freezer, Nama fridge, which is not enough. We found a cabbage there that is rotten. I asked them why not throw away this cabbage. They are telling me that no, we are going to take logopoli, logpezulu, then see peg. And really they do it, because when I go to check the food, the cabbage mali ngekho right, liba brown, lingafraywanga. Am I out of order? Okay. So that cabbage was cooked, and it was going to be cooked again because there's somebody in the building has a peg. The boiler has been broken and reported for 4 years. Therefore, we want to know the relationship, our relationship with the public works. in terms of a renovator in Rustenburg, because I believe that the budget is there. Chair, some of the things I'll just jump it. I'm just highlighting that the one that I see that is very important. In terms of education, there is the shortage of the educator that is teaching in maths. Another challenge, the challenge of ICCV. The ICCV arrives at the center at 4:30. Says hub. It's a challenge because these people that are using our tax money. So the inspecting judge also must explain lama CCV abo ukuthi asebenza kanjani. Okunye commissioner bazakutshela ukuthi yini lama CCV. Okay. Yeah. Then the harassment. I think that one also needs to be investigated. Lape era Sinbeck. Staff were complaining about harassment, sexual. Need to be investigated because it sounds bad. And we have been explained to Guti, this harassment was made outside, not inside in the center. But it needs to be investigated. This sexual harassment of the female staff. And the management have been ignoring that. Occupation of a specific dispensers. Staff complains that or doubt the OSD was met. But now it's a problem. Now you put it to be considered in the OSD. But then to see implementing the water still a problem Gwamanyama Center. Progress of promotion performance assessment. Members also were complaining about a member who joined the department 3 years ago. They don't have a progress in terms of this level 4 and to level 5. Ninage Niazig, according to him, and that is in Ugutu Gwenzagalanja. That complaint comes from all centers. Bayifuna le mendlela bathi bona abanayo imendlela balingisa lezinto nje ezi-green nabo bafuna ukupromotha makawu-4 akhuphuka bowu-5 makawu-6 akhuphuke loko bathi kusiza nokuthi umholo wabo ukhuphuke so ke I think nalezi zinto zokuzibhekisise kahle ngoba thina sisazi le mendlela nje baniyigqokile nizithola kanjani in terms of gender quality nakhona it was the problem in terms of ama that one it was just for ladies calling as I explained yale yankosikazi ehlaliseleni yamadoda iyinkosikazi. Another challenge is esayibheka ile yamalifu then it was raised a concern about a directive from the head office stating that no one will be able to take a leave for the duration of the FIFA World Cup of soccer. Department will remember on our last meeting I asked this question. It was like a joke when I asked this question. But Commissioner, I want to tell you that it's going to be a challenge for us if we don't we don't fix this problem. Kusemanje. Baba Msegi, your answer it was said you are ready for 2010. Kangangoba, all our staff have told Uguti they mustn't go to leave on 2010. But when we go for oversight visit, it shows that we are having a problem. It was said that the communication was not well communicated to them. It was just an instruction to them to say, there was no proper communication with them. You remember that these people, they've got their own union. We might say it's enough what we have said, and Gandaiko enough. They can take a sick leave Konangoku and go and extend it. And that one, Commissioner, I think we need to make sure that we priority out of all the things that is taken as Konangoku. Okay, let me finish in Kutama, because on I not do any. Kutama Commissioner is so nice and clean and has all the necessity things. So when there is center, but my problem is that why can't we do our center looks like Kutama? If Kutama knows how to do that. In terms of health, they've got this air conditioning that is taking all the disease. But when you check our centers, we don't have that. Lastly, on the Kutama chair, we'd like the department also to give us a written report in terms of kushe kanjani eKutama, because bonile kuchile, but we didn't get the whole report kuthi kushe kanjani. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Healthcare eKutama, the center of excellence, only had 5 cells in its hospital. There had recently been a smallpox outbreak at Kutama, and there's only one nurse that she gave us that her health, her life is in danger because she's all by herself and who attended to the entire hospital. My second question is staff were dissatisfactory that the request for information queries were not adequately responded by the center management. But a problem, management, I have a information. So I want you people to see to it that what is the problem with the management in Kutama. Because they are saying when they report whatever, the response is that the company who runs Kutama is in America. It's a problem. Thank you, Chairperson.
National Commissioner and your team, you'll notice that members were, in some instances, looking and reading from a report. I want to suggest that we will, and this was our, what would you call it, preliminary report. We had not even discussed it at the committee level, but I want to suggest that we give you this report so that you don't try and resolve all these questions in your response, but you'll get the report. It will give you a flavor of our observation, and as you indicated, that at some point we need to have a dialogue around a whole host of things, that some of these matters get discussed. Others are urgent, like the 2010, for instance. We support you, by the way, that we must be ready for the World Cup, but there must be a way of dealing with the anger that is there, the staff. For sure, people can't all go on leave. So we support in that regard, but I mean, there would have to be, if what we got in our oversight is correct, that must be managed. So there are certain things here that really are urgent. Other things, as you indicated, you do your stock and it will come back and do. So I'm suggesting that you don't respond to all the questions that we've asked, but you just get a sense of the type of thing. We will give you this report, Cindy. I'm sure there's one that we could give them. Not been adopted by the committee. I don't think it has to be adopted by the committee. It's our observation. And then we can have a discussion at some future date. I'm hoping the committee agrees to that type of approach. Because if you try and answer all these questions, you're going to take it forever. It was just to give you a sense of what's happening. But there are some that you might want to respond to on the basis of what you've heard. We'd afford you then to do that, Commissioner. and then maybe wrap up. It was more about information sharing, more about getting a sense of where you're going to and getting a sense of how serious we take our responsibility and building a relationship between the commission and the department, I mean, and the committee. So really up to you and your team. Can we give you guys about 15 minutes just to touch all over, and then we can have a real serious discussion when you've looked at this report, Mr. Sharp, because you're the only one that hadn't spoken. Maybe if there's anything that you want them to know, it happens. All right, Commissioner?
Chairperson, I'll make my final comment. I'll afford my colleagues who are present here. As you rightly say, that you have raised a number of issues which you have given us an opportunity in terms of your report, which has not been adopted, but for us to understand the issues. And thereafter, we'll take it from there. Thanks, Mr. Mutsuki.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think the feedback has been very helpful, disturbing in some instances, but I think the frankness has been quite helpful to us. I must admit that the message you have sent to us about Rustenburg is strong enough for us to ignore, really at a very serious risk for ourselves. And so we will put an effort to attend to the issue of Rustenburg. It appears to me, Chair, even as members are talking, that the degree is of a kind that is a threat to continuity of that facility. It also appears to me that at best, in the course of this talk, what has become very, very clear to both yourselves, as it has always been the case to us, is that our relationship with Public Works, let me put it differently, but this is how I've always said it, that we feel the pinch. We feel the pinch, but the obligation and responsibility is resident with somebody else. And these are the consequences of something like that. I think Mr. Abrams is a bit more clear, coming closer to the point I was making then when we had a joint bilateral with Public Works in front of yourself. It is not an easy thing to be dependent on another department. We have had discussions with Public Works yesterday just in preparation for our meeting with yourself next week around the service level agreement. And we will have the service level agreement, but I suspect at some point it's going to be helpful as we discuss that to look into the issues that they're raising about where are the enforcement issues and what are the consequences for non-compliance and so on. But for government in general, managing that part of work is the most difficult thing ever, managing consequences in the face of non-compliance and so on. I'm really just saying that your observation around Rustenburg, your observation around the kitchens in Devon Westville is as accurate as sometimes the frustrations that we've had over a period of time. We're now dependent on the service level agreement. Whether on its own as a document will be helpful is another thing. But my sense, Commissioner, is that we'll be dependent in this engagement with the portfolio committee to drive this point home. I made this point to them yesterday that we are a security institution. We are a security institution, and as very slightest maintenance problem to us is a threat to human life. So it's not an equivalent issue to another government department. To us, it's a threat to human life. But suffice perhaps to say that the points that have been raised are really very helpful to us. There was a direct question that was raised around the frequency of visits. There are multiple set of ways in which we run our visits. Part of those visits is run by a component in our department called an inspectorate, who will sample a specific number of management areas and deal with every single issue, including the issues that you have raised now, whether the fence is working, whether the doors are managed, whether policy procedures are monitored appropriately or not. And then provide a report and a feedback around improvement in relation to that. And so this thing happens on an ongoing basis. There is a program throughout the year that attends to that. I must admit that there has been instances, especially in the course of last year, where the frequency of our monitoring and visits at all levels has been slapped because of budget problems, which I think we have explained to yourself at that time. So in the course of last year, that has been a problem that the department has encountered. So I do want to apologize. If in the course of my response to the question of Devon Westville, I created a misrepresentation. I do really want to apologize for that. But as far as the question I was answering, Devon Westville was not part of the institutions where we rolled out this facility that I was responding to, that the only thing that we have decommissioned is the tensile. It's not one of those. So the tensiles have always been there. And if they're not working, it's a result of your own observation, issues of maintenance and so on, including the cameras. The cameras are there, but they are part of the old system that I'm saying we had disparate system which we... And so I'm really very sorry if an impression has been created that I'm saying cameras are working when in fact they're not working. The Renaissance was not part of those institutions I was referring to. But I suspect that the point Ms. Salf was making will be very helpful. What we will be able to do, Chair, is to help you with a report that provides you with generation of technology infrastructure. So you'll have a technology infrastructure which has been provided by Public Works. We'll provide a status about whether it's working or not, and the problems of maintenance in respect of that. We'll also provide you with a response that will detail that this is what gets called Sondolo system, which my answer to you was that you decommissioned the sensor. That's part of the technology. We'll detail those two set of and create distinctions so that you can tell with certainty, as you ask, which ones are working, which ones are not working. We'll provide, and I think perhaps in going back to my apology, that will lay a bit of confidence and, around the status of that infrastructure going forward. But, and lastly, Chair, the point that you are making around, and which has been made by the Honourable Member around the 2010, there's no doubt in my mind that that challenge is going to be coming. I mean, if people are not granted leave, they can very easily fall sick and so on. And so it's a very serious challenge on our part, which as you say, is something that we need to be managing. And it may well be that the problem on our part has been how we communicated it, that we did not perhaps generate adequate writing on the part of the staff, which is a challenge and work that has to be done from now going forward. But, Chair, I'm sure Commissioner can talk to other things, including concluding things.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Maybe in short, Chairperson, I want to start by saying I also have heard the members of the committee around the observation during the visit in Durban. I think we have taken note both from the during the visit, the oversight visit by the committee last week and also today, this morning, during this briefing. But I want to take the opportunity, Chair, to indicate to the committee that we are doing our very best to deal with the challenges that we confront in our centers, including Durban in this case. Durban, on average, is having between 10,000 and 12,000 offenders, plus minus 2,000 officials. So we have a community of about 14,000 in that complex alone, excluding Mzinto. So it's quite a complex task. Some of the challenges that we spoke about this morning certainly are not of our own doing. In this instance, Public Works comes in. So I appreciate, as indicated by the committee, that they will be interacting with the Department of Public Works in this regard. But I want to assure the committee that we're engaging both our officials and the management there to deal with issues decisively, because indeed there is a challenge in some respects. But Honourable Member, it can't be that it is in the community of 14,000, that if maybe those isolated, serious incidents as they may be, that the entire management area or the institute or Durban can be termed a disaster. Vast work, noble work that is going on in that particular, the officials who will cry, who are giving it all. And I will argue this morning that in the main, those are in the majority who are doing everything possible. It is those few, I concede here, that putting the name of Operation into dispute by some of the serious omissions and suspected collisions in Durban. But I want to assure the committee that going forward, we're attending to these issues that we have raised and some of the issues that we have said we're dealing with at that level. Coming to Ebongweni quickly, Chair. The capacity is supposed to be 1,400. Matters around the fact that we stand at 600 are purely the matter of infrastructure available in that particular municipality from day one. These are the matters that have been raised by the department, together with the department, including the municipality at that level, to the point that certain monies were shifted from the department to assist that particular municipality so that it can have capacity for the benefit of our two centers there. The issues of ventilation, the issues of water and other infrastructure, shortcomings that have been observed in the Pongwen, it's matters that have been raised up to the level of a deputy minister of public works by ourselves. It's not that we've waited for the portfolio committee to come and to call. It's matters that have been raised at the national level. I had the privilege personally to meet with the deputy minister of public works in Durban and raise these things. And she has undertaken to come to Pietermaritzburg and to come to Ebongweni to attend to these things as well. I want to indicate, without disclosing much, there has been challenges with the office in public works, in particular in this regard, in the Durban office, which they are still dealing with as an internal matter, which has an impact on the quality and the kind of service that we get as a client department in that particular region. I suppose maybe in other regions as well. I think I want to also to indicate to Commissioner that the Chairperson that issues raised about the fact that water in the juvenile center has not been, or they have not been having water for some time, is something that I personally take accountability that I have to take up after this meeting with the other commissioner of Durban, because information that has come into the region was that it has been a matter of few days, if not weeks, and not to the extent that the committee brought to our attention. And certainly would not allow that. If it means that we have to engage with the municipality and public within this regard, that matter needs to be addressed as a matter like today. We cannot have a situation that those young offenders should be subjected to that kind of treatment. I'm sure this was raised as well on the students' movement from levels, from different levels. I may not speak to specifics here, Chairperson, but safe to say, in some respects, student correctional officers will be recruited to the department, will go to the college. A certain period would lapse before they can be certified as fully fledged correctional officers by the SASETA, who will certify their training. This will require that they go to a basic training, and then after that, they do the 12-month learnership. In some instances, there has been delays to actually, for the SASETA to issue certificates. But once that has been done, then necessary process has been followed to move them from being students to fully fledged correctional, they would call officials, that are going to effect their movement from level as a student to a level to a fully fledged correctional officer. So I may not be certain as to what were the specific in this regard. In correctional services, we have not had the promotion policy over a period of time, like in the public service. After the signing of the OST with the unions, developing policy to ensure that within job ladders of certain families of the department, then promotion is affected. What the OSD in the main also said was that there shouldn't be a long process before people can be promoted from low levels to a high level. There is a shortened period in terms of the OSD regime. So that's why you would have different OSD applicable to certain occupations. On the World Cup issue, I wanted to enter in a bit, Commissioner, quickly. We raised these things in our own meeting, both at the national level and even at the regional level. But this should be communicated to make an official understand. After the committee have brought to my attention last week as well, I had an engagement with the area commissioners as well. But I've taken it to myself that we're moving to the center, among other challenges that are there, to address this particular issue, to say that as a nation, as part of the cluster, it is important that correctional services is playing its part, especially around the host cities. And therefore, it will be required that officials who are center-based in the main should be at work. As and when people are off, they will be allowed to go and watch matches. But we would want to say a certain level of staff is at work so that we can safeguard the institution as part of the club. We have that responsibility. We've tried to explain that other than to say people have just been given a directive of saying you're not going to take leave. I think we're trying to move to that direction. Maybe let me follow up.
Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, on my closing note is that we have taken note of the issues that you have raised. I can assure you we have absorbed and soaked ourselves with the concerns that affect us. Certainly, we are grateful for the opportunity that you have granted us to explain ourselves, and we'll make it a point that we provide you with the responses that have been raised with us. Suffice to indicate that most of the issues raised here, and also thanks for the copy of your report on the oversight that you have done. We'll study it and come back to yourselves with responses where it is possible. We've indicated to yourselves that we'd like to provide a very high level information feedback to yourselves. We'd like to have a healthy relationship with the Portfolio Committee because you provide us with an opportunity to see where there are weaknesses. It's like a blind sight. I should think from where we sit, Chairperson, it's an opportunity that we cannot just throw out of the window because it's an opportunity that I think for the organization is so valuable because your visit, your interaction with members and inmates gives us a sense that the responsibility with which we've been charged in terms of the inmates that are in our facilities is that of stability and also accountability to yourselves and the people of South Africa. I'll not attempt to answer any question or respond to any. We'll take this report that you've given us, and I don't want to commit to a time frame. I'm going through a process of induction, but certainly, Chair, I'll have your contact details so that I'll keep you posted on issues that, on ad hoc basis, but also on official basis, provide you with a level of reporting that you need. I want also to thank the individual members of the Portfolio Committee for your incisive criticisms and comments that you have made to us today. We'll convey this matter to our Minister and the Deputy Minister. We'll share with them what has been discussed, the shortfalls and the challenges that we face within the organization. Certainly, the issue of staffing is at the core and the center of everything that we do here. We'll address to the best of our ability and also provide with information as and when it occurs. Our officials in the region, in particular, where in they are directly the coal face of activity, operationally. When incident occurs, we don't want to take a reactive approach to those issues. Where it is possible, we'll go and visit that facility. If it's far off, the regional commissioner, area commissioner, will have to provide us, within a limited space of time, a factual report of the act of the activities that have led to a riot, assault, or whatever incident that may be reported. On that note, Chair, I would like to thank the team that has accompanied me. would have liked to have a full complement of the leadership at the correctional services. May I make this apology because senior officials are busy with their annual report, and therefore it would have been an opportunity that my leadership and the team that I lead are present here in this portfolio committee to show confidence and also to afford you with the responsibility that we have before us. On that note, Chair, thank you very much.
Thanks, Commissioner. Just two or three things so that we move from the same level. The first thing that we think it's important is to re-emphasize our belief in the correctness of the seven-day establishment. That was put in place so that we move away from the exorbitant overtime that was being paid. Now, there are rumors, or not rumors, there are murmurs about whether the 7 day is right or wrong. The committee is saying that we are totally committed and in support of the 7 day establishment. Because we don't think that that overtime system helped anybody. I think what we also are saying, Commissioner, so that at least you understand where we come from, we've been very and remain very committed to a structured day inmate labor type of environment. We just don't believe we're going to, at the end of our term, be happy if people are spending 23 hours of their day in the cell. We want a structured day, we want them to work as far as is humanly possible. So that's the second thing that you just need to understand, that you'll continuously hear from us over and above the other stuff that you'll be hearing from us. And perhaps the new one that we've introduced, Commissioner, that is, if we were not meeting you today, we were going to open this discussion publicly. You know, this whole thing about when you guys go and leave, not on leave, when you guys leave after lockup, gangsters take over, you know, that type of thing. And we think that we have to become more creative in terms of how do we manage the cells after you guys have left in terms of lockup. You go on, gangsters take over, they run the show. We have our own ideas. We are going to float those ideas around and be criticized, but we do think that something needs to be done. I mean, we've been saying, why can't we have some sort of a surveillance of what happens in those cells when the doors are closed? We know there will be people saying, but you're infringing on their human rights. We are arguing that when you are raping somebody else, you're infringing on his human rights as well. So I'm saying it's those type of discussions that as a committee, it's not about whether there should be surveillance cameras or not, but it's about management of the cells after lockup that we think we need to look at. And whichever way best serves that purpose, you need to do. So those are the type of things that over and above our stringent oversight that we do. Members, we have a practice, because we come from all over the country, that in our geographic locations of our constituencies, members go into oversight. So when we're going for oversight now again for a month, before we leave, we'll ask all members again, look, go and visit Paul Small, go and visit this, go and visit that, individually, and come back so that we get a sense of what's going on. In other words, there are continuous oversight visits by this committee. We come back, we look at them, we interrogate them, and we throw them back at you guys. So Cindy and company, Commissioner, now and then will phone your office saying, please notify your people that Vincent is going to see Max, or Winnie is going to Joburg, that type of thing. I mean, that was the relationship that we used to have in the past, and we're hoping that relationship remains. I think all of us have got the green card that gives us access to those facilities. But occasionally, it's not going to be very formal. We'll just say to you, look, who else is going there? Please notify your people there. In responding to the minister saying that she's hoping that we give support, we certainly would. But in turn, we'd also come to you guys and expect support. I mean, we've, for the record, as a committee, adopted Kimberley. That means if anything goes wrong in Kimberley, it affects us directly as a committee. And you'll expect the harshest criticism from our side. So when Mr. South comes and says, but he's heard this thing about Kimberley yesterday and he's frustrated, it's because we've adopted it.
Abraham and Paliso live in that side of the world. They certainly are our eyes and ears that side. So that relationship we hope will continue to. With those words, yeah, I think next week we're doing public works, and then we go on recess, and when we come back, we will afford the minister the opportunity to come and discuss with us performance agreement with the president that she indicated, and the 12 or whatever pillars. And maybe at that point, we'll also have a discussion around these things. You would have had a month and a half or 2 months to acclimatize, and let's decide how together we move forward. So we're going to adjourn until next week, Wednesday, when we meet Public Works. I'm assuming that the department will also be at that meeting on Public Works. Yeah. All right. Yes, sir?
Yeah, just one point. I would just like the commissioner to inform all his managers at all the centres as one very naughty MP that will pitch up there without telling them.
No, all of them do that.
Over and above the structured ones, we also go unattended. I mean, we've been told, we've warned them. Or not only South Nile, but certainly your Durban guy, that will be at the gate, and he's made an undertaking to stop everything and come and meet us at the gate. So we will do these type of things occasionally, not with the intention to catch you out, but with the intention of making sure that all of us are working so that the minister meets her targets with the president. Thank you very much. Until the next time we meet, good luck.
Thank you.